You did good, bro. Praise the Lord. Hey, I want to encourage all of you, because it's been a while since I've said something about it, but we have prayer on Saturday nights. We used to have prayer for years in the church, and the end of last year, the Lord started putting on my heart that he wanted to get us out of being just in the building, and he wanted fire in the homes in this valley, and he wanted fire to spread through the valley, not just through our church, through, I'm sure, all the body of Christ. And so how we've been led to do that is that we have host homes that basically say you can have prayer at our home this week. And I think we're scheduled through July 31st. I think towards the end of June I'll send out another sheet and we'll get scheduled for a couple more months after that. But it's an amazing time. We only pray for an hour, hour and 15 minutes, so you know, it doesn't totally mess up your Saturday night. We meet at 6 o'clock. And if you're not on like a message format that because I send out a reminder every single Saturday, a lot of you probably get texts, say it's Pastor Mike again, telling you where the home's going to be. Next week, we're going to be all the way just about to Granger, aren't we? At Moses and Gina's. And so I encourage everyone to go. Let's make it the best turnout yet, the farthest drive and the best turnout. We were way out in Tyatin, and we had about almost 30-something one night out at your place. So, I mean, it's a time to get together and let our hearts knit together in prayer, have an agreement of faith, and then see God do miraculous things through our prayers. How many know prayer changes things? It does. I mean, you know, it says very clearly in the Word, we have not. And you could put whatever not in there. We have not, you know, resources. We have not finances. We have not peace in our life, whatever you want to call it, because we ask not. And asking is prayer. So I encourage you to come and pray with us. Also, 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, we meet here for pre-service prayer. And I guess I haven't been announcing that enough because James didn't know about it. And he came and joined us today. And wow, brother, you were on fire. You are on fire. Well, it's time for message again. And it's going to be different, I guess, from now on, unless the Lord changes things. About 2 weeks ago, I really felt in my heart that God wanted me to be obedient in a new area in my walk. And, you know, I'm like kind of listening to him and saying, okay, Lord, what's going on? And I started really pursuing him, getting up earlier in the morning. You know, not that getting up earlier in the morning makes God love me anymore. That's not, but it allows me to spend more time with him and hear his voice and have more intimacy with him, be more sensitive to his leading in my life. And so I'm thinking that's what it is. I'm going, okay, this is great, Lord, a greater, closer relationship, you know. And I'd make it, you know, real early some mornings and so any other morning, but pretty much every morning I'm getting up before I normally do. And a lot of times I just wake up. So praise God. I don't even have to have the alarm go off. And praise the Lord, Pastor Gay says, because she's a light sleeper. But that isn't all it was. Last Sunday, pretty much after I was done preaching, I said, that wasn't quite right, was it? And for those of you who heard the message, you say, yes, Pastor, it wasn't quite right. No, it's time to laugh, folks. There we go. Canned laughter. Jesse, can you work on that? Canned laughter? That would be good. Sound like an old 50s sitcom. No, it's like 60s maybe. But anyway, I had this impression that it wasn't like the way God wanted it to be. And so I started, you know, seeking, talking to him, saying, Lord, what's going on? And he asked me kind of the question that I love it, but I really dislike it. Son, do you trust me? yes, Lord. You know that I trust you. You know, kind of like Peter. You know that I love you. What are you going to ask me to do? It's like, but I said, yes, Lord, I trust you. He says, okay, well, I want you to do something for me and change what you're doing. And I said, okay. And what he's asked me to do, and it, you know, some of you are going to say, well, Pastor Mike, I mean, that's just a cop-out because you don't have to work on studying, you don't have to look up the Greek, you don't have to do all this stuff. But he's asked me to come on Sundays Yes, I'm filling my heart with the Word of God. I'm reading, you know, I'm praying. I'm praying with brothers and sisters. We meet, we fellowship. But he's asked me to come on Sundays not prepared with a specific message that I think he wants me to preach. So that means every Sunday that I preach, you're going to get whatever he wants to give you. And the reason I'm saying this and telling you all this before I do it, because I believe that, and it's been prophesied to me, and I really sense in my heart that I'm not called, and I've told you before, not to be a normal pastor. I'm not called to be, you know, standing on a pulpit every single week and just proclaiming what I think God wants. I'm really called for this day to empower you. And I believe everything that God asks me to do is to give you courage anywhere else to do yourself. That if someone like myself who has difficulty speaking for a long amount of time, I do most of the time. You can ask my staff. I mean, I usually keep things small, short, concise. I like statements that are made and get to the point, and I don't like to belabor the obvious. So preaching is belaboring the obvious, now, kind of, you know, in a way, because you could just read the scripture and say, that's it, folks, you know, and we're done, and be very short messages and not even worth putting on the internet. But through God's Holy Spirit and the inspiration that I preach under, I'm able to communicate, and I'm able to say things with a lot of times eloquence. I listened to times back and go, where did that come from? And I know I'm not that good. That's what I tell our staff after they preach a great message. I say, boy, that was amazing, but you're not that good. That's God in you working. Josh like says it before I say it now. I know I'm not that good. But I was challenged, you know, I like to have the Word of God back up what he's putting on my heart. I don't like to just, you know, have thoughts and make it random in my mind and like, okay, well, I think this is what. I love it when the Word of God comes and establishes the truth. And to truth be known, Saturday night, Barb Kennedy goes, Pastor, what's the Lord showing you? Like I was supposed to be hearing something. All of a sudden, it's like, well, he's showing me I'm pressing in more. You know, I told her what it was. And it wasn't like a day later that God started really dealing with me on this change. So here's the verse that he gave me. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, to me, that spoke volumes because Egypt in the Bible represents the bondage that the Israelites were under. They were slaves for almost 400 years. There were like a million people that were in bondage. And he is our God who has brought us out of the land of Egypt, who has brought me out of the land of Egypt. He's saying, I'm your God, Mike, who has taken you from the place where you weren't even looking for me, and I came and I brought you into a land of milk and honey. Because that's what eternal life has been for me. And some of you say, well, Pastor Mike, you're not living eternal life yet. Wrong. In Christ I am. In Christ I'm already seated in heavenly places with him. In Christ I'm already experiencing his presence as if I was in heaven at times. Now I know it's not like I'm in heaven for real yet. But to me, compared to the bondage, it's heaven. It's amazing to live in Christ. And so, getting back here, I am the Lord your God. Speaking directly, this is like a rhema word that spoke to me. I think it was on Tuesday morning. I am the Lord your God who brought you, Mike Lindell, out of the land of Egypt. Then he said this to me, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. That was the word he gave me. Now you think about that. I just have to open my mouth and he's going to fill it. I believe that this isn't just for Pastor Mike. You just need to open your mouth in situations and circumstances that you feel uncomfortable, that you say, I'm not equipped for this. I'm not qualified for this. Well, neither am I. Some will say, well, Pastor Mike, you've been a pastor for 16 years. That doesn't matter. I'm not qualified to do what we're doing here. I was a pastor, associate pastor, under a certain type of structure. We don't do that at all. So I'm not qualified for this. but I'm equipped by God to do it. See, that's the difference. You don't have to be qualified. All you have to do is be equipped. If you're equipped with the tools that the Holy Spirit gives us, then we will literally be world changers. There will literally be nothing that the enemy can put in front of us that we can't go through. Jesus says that rock of revelation knowledge that Peter had, that he was the Christ, the Son of living God, that the gates of hell would not be able to prevail against it. What are gates for? To keep you out, right? Right? We're to take back territory. My life was territory. When I was in bondage, my life was territory of the enemies. I lived for Satan, even though I didn't know I was living for Satan. I did not glorify God in my life. I did not plan on living a life to his pleasure. I planned on doing things my own way and continuing to do corrupt things that corrupted my body and my mind and left me in bondage. But when God hold to my heart, when he drew me out of that bondage and his life-giving spirit came into me, a freedom came, a joy came, a peace came. And I believe that that same spirit that set me free, took me out of bondage, is what is giving me the ability right now to speak to you. And it's going to give you the same ability to speak to others. So, you're saying, so is this your message, Pastor Mike? No, it's not my message. What scripture was that? What scripture did I do? Oh, thank you. Psalm 81:10. That was the scripture I just read. Did I not say that? Oh. Well, most people have concordances and stuff in their phones, so they could have looked it up, but they probably wouldn't. Psalm 81:10, a very good scripture, I might add. But today's message is from Acts. Now, I really felt the Lord was going to say, at least for this Sunday, that my message or the message that he had for you was going to come during worship. And it did. But actually, I prayed it. One of the very first things I prayed during the pre-service prayer when I was saying, thank you, Lord, that it's Father's Day. And I just love the Holy Spirit. It's no accident that every song was about the Holy Spirit. It says here, you guys don't know? We need to make it so the Holy Spirit just starts telling us all. Then, of course, the people who are listening would never get it. So, Acts 1. And we'll go to Acts, how about 4? 1:4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them. Now, this is Jesus on the Mount of Olives just before he's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to ascend and pretty much now be gone for the rest of time until he comes back. And he's telling his disciples what they need to do. He's giving their final instructions, their very final instructions before he leaves. Now, he's been meeting with them. He's been walking with them, having dinners with them. You know, he's been there for 40 days pretty much now almost. And he's been, you know, appearing to other disciples. He's been making the rounds, but now he's heading back. And he tells this is going to tell his disciples his final instruction. He says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Now, isn't it interesting that it's Father's Day too? And the Lord has in mind for us a Father's Day message. The promise of the Father is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it says, the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?
And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power," say with me, power, "power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses," say witnesses, "witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud and received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for your word. Lord, I thank you, God, that you, Lord, prove your word, God, through other words of your people, God, through confirmation. Thank you, Lord, for the worship, God, that directed us towards you, Holy Spirit. We ask today, God, that we would receive what you have for us, Lord, because you don't want us just to hear a word, Lord, to tickle our ears. You don't want us to hear a word, God, just so that we can have some more knowledge. Lord, you want to transform us. God, you want to make us into people, God, that walk and talk and live like Jesus. So, Lord, I pray right now, God, what you want to speak through this word today. Holy Spirit, speak through me. I'm a vessel that is ready to be used by you. God, I just release any hindrances, any thoughts of the enemy, any trappings, any fears now. In Jesus' name, we bring those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And I receive that today, Lord Jesus, your mighty name. All God's people said amen. The promise of the Father. Now, we were talking earlier about fathers and had a couple of testimonies. And Moses, you received a promise from your father. It says, "Moses, I don't, and my sons, I don't have anything to give you that is going to be of any worldly value. I don't have lands, I don't have cars, I don't have houses. But what I do have for you, Moses, and my sons, my children, I give to you, and that is the inheritance of the word of God." Wow. What a promise. What a promise. And then for Moses, this many years later, to see that promise manifesting in a way that it's literally transforming his family. I'll tell you what, no inheritance on earth compares to the value of what Moses and Gina have and that family has. And some of you again say, "Well, you know, I'm just brand new to all this. I don't understand this father business, and my dad, you know, wasn't saved at all, and so I don't feel like I've received any spiritual inheritance." Yes, you have. Now, Moses was blessed and graced, and his parents were faithful enough and disciplined enough that they could give him that inheritance. But if you don't have an earthly father that's promising you something, there is a promise from our Heavenly Father that was the seed for that promise. And you and I, we all have that promise. We all have the promise of the Father. When we say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know that I can't live this life anymore on my own. I can't do this anymore on my own. I need your help. I need you to walk with me. I need you to live in me. I need you to transform me and change me from this sinner, this wretched man that I am, into a man of righteousness, into a man that's after your own heart." When you pray that prayer, the promise of the Father starts to activate in your life. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is everything tangible that we know of God. When we feel the peace of God, it's Holy Spirit administering that peace. When we feel the wisdom of God speaking to us about a situation, Holy Spirit's
speaking to us. When we say, Jesus talked to me, Jesus talked to you through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is our divine connection with all of heaven. And if you have the Holy Spirit, folks, we have all of heaven. Now, some may say, well, it doesn't feel like I have all of heaven, Pastor. That's because you're relying on your feelings. Because there will be times you don't sense God in your feelings. There will be times that you don't sense God even in your mind. But in your heart, the Word of God, which is the truth, the way, and the life, will make sure that the whole, that what you need then is concrete in your life. When everything else could be sinking sand, you can be standing on the solid Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will make that word true in your life. When you hear a word from a pulpit, or when you hear a message on the radio, on TV, on the internet, and that word starts to become alive in you, that's Holy Spirit making that word alive in you. We have the promise of the Father. We have Holy Spirit. Now, the promise of the Father to the disciples at that time was different, though. Because Holy Spirit hadn't been sent in His fullness. The way that they knew Jesus was one-on-one. And that's why they're still looking up. Oh, man, what are we going to do now? You know, they're still looking up. I'm sure He must have been gone when those angels walked up. What are you guys looking at? Jesus. He's gone. He's gone. But you go get yourselves ready like He told you. And He'll come back in the same way and He'll get you. There is, I believe, in this day, a call that's going out to God's people saying, quit looking at what used to be. Quit looking at what has left. See, there was a type of church that we knew. There was a type of lifestyle of Christianity that we knew. There was a type of living for God that we knew. And there's still so many that want to look at that. They want to see. They want to make sure that they're holding on to that tradition. They're making sure that everything's all in its proper order and place. But God's saying, quit looking up. Holy Spirit's about to come. See, folks, I don't think we've experienced Holy Spirit like He wants us to up to this point. And I believe our own mindsets, our own fears, our own, you know, trepidations to step out into the unknown have kept us from receiving everything that God wants us to have. And I believe that we're coming into an hour. Remember the first of the year, the Holy Spirit so graciously showed us that He was about to speak light to His people. Now, can I ask you, based on that sermon, it was called, what was it called? I always forget the name of my sermons now. Something. It's called something. No, come on, folks. It was about the new year. Odyssey, there we go. Yeah, 2012, A Spiritual Odyssey. I want you now. We've gone, what, 6 months, 5.5 months, right? Pretty much 6 months? 6 months, 6 months, yeah. Is it 6 actual months or is it we like in the 6 month? I think we're in the 6 month, so it's like, okay, like, please go, Pastor. Anyway, here we go. For those of you who would say, Pastor Mike, I have experienced a spiritual odyssey already this year, would you raise your hand? See around? It's happening. And just because you're not raising your hand, or maybe didn't raise your hand, does not mean that this is not a year for Holy Spirit to touch you in such a significant way. I think Holy Spirit wanted this to be a little reminder of what this year is supposed to be. That it's not supposed to be life as normal. It's not supposed to be the same old days that you had before. It's supposed to be a new walk, a new destiny. Listen, God keeps His promises. He is not like an earthly father. How many of you have said something to your children and said, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that? Like the next day something comes up, it's like, oh, I can't keep that promise now. Timmy hates it. Stephen hated it. Because they would ask me and ask me and ask me, Dad, can I do this? Can I do this? I'm not sure. That was my answer. Or, can we go do this? I'm not sure. We'll see. I did not want to say yes and then, you know, break their hearts. So when I said yes, man, sometimes it was 10:30 at night when they reminded me, oh, okay, let's go. Oh, my goodness, you know, because I'm going to keep my promise. But even with that in mind, and I try to do, my promises still fell short. God's promises does not fall short. His promises are yes and amen. You can bank on them. They're sealed in a vault for you. All you need to do is hear the words that are the combination. And you know what the combination is? I give up. You guys remember that combination? I give up. You say, well, Pastor, that doesn't make sense. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 57. Now remember, we're talking about the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Father is the presence of God abiding with us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is literally when the Holy Spirit is flowing out of us in such a way that God's presence is like rivers of living water. That's what it's like, a sprinkler that you just can continue to run in. Listen to this. For thus says, this is Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one. Oh, I love the way that God's describing himself there. High and lofty one. In other words, there's nothing bigger than me. I am high and I'm lofty. Now listen to this. You say, well, God's like prideful. No, he's just telling the truth. There's no pride involved at all. He's saying, I am the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. So many people think that God's surprised when something happens in our lives. No. He inhabits eternity. Somehow, he's still at the very beginning of all creation. And somehow, right now, he's at the very end of all creation. That's how come he can know all of your lives, which is a little drop in the bucket. If he knows the very beginning and the very end and everything in between, nothing surprises him. Nothing takes him and causes him to go, whoa. Nothing shock and awes him. Who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, set apart, righteous, sanctified. His name is the name above every other name. And when we call on the name of Jesus, when we call on God, we speak to the one who oversees eternity. Now listen, this is what it takes to call on him, folks. It says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him. Did you just hear that? He dwells in the high and holy place in eternity with him. That's a small H. Who's he talking about here? With him who has a contrite and humble spirit. I give up. You want to be in a place where your tomorrows don't matter and the past has no effect on who you are now? Dwell with the high and lofty one in eternity. Dwell with the God of all gods who can make it so that right now, in this moment, everything's okay. No matter what storm, no matter what crisis, no matter what fear you may be facing in the natural, there's a peace that passes all understanding that guards your heart and mind that literally goes beyond the natural peace that's available from any artificial substance, from any outside stimulus. This is something deep in our being that only God can do. And he does it through those who give up. He does it through those who are broken. Let me finish. It says, to receive the spirit of the humble and to revive the hearts of the contrite ones. You want a revived heart? You want to become alive to God? You want to be awakened into everything that he has for you? Then you need to be broken. And I don't know about you, but for me to be broken means for me to realize that I don't have it all together. For me to be broken and contrite means that I have to evaluate my ways and say, Lord, fix me. Because see, if you're perfect, if everything is all together, if it's all good and you don't need anything, you don't have the combination. You're locked out. Folks, we can be in a place in God where there is, no matter what goes on, as Paul, I believe, said in eternity with God somehow. Because he was broken. He was contrite. And he could say, nothing else moves me except Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing else shakes me. You know what? Doesn't matter if I'm rich. Doesn't matter if I'm poor. I find myself content in God. And he says, and everything in the past that I did that was good and I did that was bad is just garbage. Because I set my eyes on God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his future for me. I fix my gaze on him. I run a race after him. Back to Acts. Turn to chapter 2. So the promise of the fathers to these disciples who were staring, looking up, saying, what's going on? What's this all about? Is he really gone? I mean, is that it? We don't get to hang with him anymore? The angels remind, nope. Go do what he told you to do. Go back to Jerusalem. Find your upper room. Start praying. Start seeking. Start waiting on him. Start getting your hearts in one accord. Sound familiar? We gather on Saturday nights. We gather here on Sunday mornings. We gather at other times, Wednesday mornings during the week, so we can get our hearts together, knit together, combine our faith together, waiting on him to receive what God has for us now. But they were at that time receiving the Holy Spirit in all his fullness. The reason that I can stand here today, the reason that someone can say, follow me past this dark tree that didn't look like anything, and there's a fountain here of love and peace and joy that will bring our family into an order in God, well, it'll be nothing short of miraculous. Right, brother? That's the Holy Spirit. Just waiting. For us to say yes. Just waiting for you to say, you know what? I'm broken enough to receive all of God's power. I can't do it on my own. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, this was 10 days later after Jesus went up, they were all assembled or all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. We were singing about fire. And one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That was a promise of the Father. That was Father's Day for the disciples. I bet they're going, Father, thank you. Jesus is back. Do you realize that's what happened for them? Jesus came back to them in the form of the Holy Spirit. He was no longer away. That's why he would told his disciples when he was having dinner with them, he said, listen, it's better for you that I go to the Father, because when I go, he's going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And he will lead you and guide you into all truth. He'll remind you of things that I said. He'll remind you of things that are coming and tell you of things that are coming up in the future. He'll be with you all the time. Not only with you, folks, he's going to be in you. That's what he told his disciples. And when Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, it's not in the Bible, but I bet Peter said, Jesus, you're here. And he was changed. Jesus not only filled him, he started acting like Jesus. To where a coward fisherman who couldn't even stand up to a little girl asking him if he was even one of his disciples stands up on Pentecost, 3,000 people, and he says, listen, the one you crucified is who's here right now. And folks, the one that was crucified for you is ready to fill you to such an overflowing that literally when you walk, it'll shatter the ground of the demonic powers like Jesus did. The demons knew he was coming when he came. And you look at the disciples, the demons start knowing when they're coming. And if you've got demons in your life, you get full of God, they'll want to evacuate. Because light and darkness does not cohabitate very well. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your promise that we can stand here today and say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come in all of your glory, in all of your power, in all of your splendor and might. Fill us over. Just like you did the disciples. Shake us just like you did the disciples. Let us act unbecomingly just like you did the disciples, to where they thought they were drunk in the middle of the day. No, in the early morning. Can we sing that song, Annette? Is she gone? Holy Spirit, come. Can you? Oh, they're fighting for the piano. Thank you, Jesus. Well, if you would just take any distractions away from you right now, we're going to just now focus on the Holy Spirit. Because I believe this message is so many of you can receive the Holy Spirit in a greater fullness. I'm asking for that today. On this Father's Day, I want the promise of the Father to be so full in me that there's no room left for old Mike Lindell. There's no room left for anything that is not contrite and humble. Would you stand with me? Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you feel like you need to be filled again, or you feel, or you've been impressed by the Word of God, that you need more of God. You need a greater indwelling of Him. You need a greater fullness of the Spirit. Or maybe you just want to be more like Jesus. And just come on up and join me as we sing this song. Yes, Lord.
Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Fill your church with joy overflowing, and peace overflowing, and love overflowing in all of your
I'm just going to be obedient and just have you pray a prayer with me. Just repeat. Heavenly Father, thank you for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are true to your word. Thank you, God, that you don't lie. So right now, in full faith and confidence, I receive the promise of the Father afresh in my life. Transform me, Holy Spirit. Change me, Holy Spirit. Burn with your fire in me, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Shed on Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My word to you today, encouragement is, step out. Be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I mean, was I concerned about this morning? Yes. Told Gay, and I'm like, she said, it'll be okay. Told a few others that, right on. I'm like, really? But you know what? There was something inside of me that knew God would work out the details. Because he keeps doing it time and time and time again. This is a day that we have got to learn to walk with God. Like he desires for us to walk with him. He desires for us to be hand in hand. Hand in hand. Walking alongside of him. Some I know with the story of footprints, he carries us. But he desires us to have Holy Spirit inside of us so strong we can stand on our feet. As fathers in homes, we can stand and be the priests of our home. As the mothers, we can stand and speak reason and counsel and even wisdom to our children. And lead other women in godly teachings and love and grace. He wants us to hold his hand, though. No more playing church. Those days are done. At least for us, they're done. We cannot play church anymore. We can't have a service for the purpose of ceremony. We have to have a service for the purpose of God's purpose, God's will, God's kingdom, God's plan, not ours. I believe in you. Even though some of you don't believe in yourselves, I believe in you. Know why I believe in you? Because the promise of the Father lives inside of you. If you've received Jesus Christ, the promise of the Father lives inside of you. Now, maybe you haven't been fully baptized in the Holy Spirit, but Holy Spirit's bigger than that. Holy Spirit can move in us when we're contrite and broken. That's the key. Contriteness, brokenness, humility. Stop making it about you. Make it about Him. Make it about others. And you'll dwell in eternity. Amen. God bless you all. I love you. Have a great week. And we will see you Wednesday for smoked pulled pork.
He heals me when